You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, with it being draft season, things haven't really changed that much for me. It's just been, honestly, not taking away anything from this country that, you know, the state we're in. Having my wife at home with me with the two kids has been really fun.
Now, do you mean that sincerely, or is that tongue-in-cheek? Because it could go either way.
No, I mean, just we have two young girls, and my wife is a teacher. So to have her with me here with the kids has been really a nice change of just kind of our daily routine.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, and obviously we're going to get heavy into the draft in a second, but you and I can sit back and wax poetic about life as a general rule, and that is, you know, you're getting time with your kids if you are a parent of young kids that you ordinarily would not get. So there are some positives through this obviously very difficult time.
Yep, I totally agree.
All right, so Chris, we brought you on because you're an expert, and we want to pick your brain as best we can. A lot of questions for you. Let's go kind of as rapid fire as we can. We'll start with the most timely news, and that is Mekhi Becton. I guess he tests positive. That's the word out on the street. That's what Ian Rappaport is reporting for a substance. Is that confirmed that that's marijuana, or the belief is that is marijuana?
It's just the belief right now that it's marijuana, and it's interesting because with the new CBA, the league was going to be a little more lax on marijuana suspensions. So theoretically, this should not impact him as much as it would have even a year or two ago, but it'll move him down on some boards for a few teams. Are we going to see a gigantic drop from Mekhi Becton? I don't
think so. We're not going to see a Laramie Tunsil kind of drop this year from him?
No, okay. It's not. I mean, if this whole virtual draft gets hacked and there's a video of him using a bong, like as the draft is happening, that could change things, but I don't think it'll have a huge impact on his draft stock.
All right, so let's run through the first couple of selections the way you see them going down, and then where things get interesting, which I would think is three. Burrow, one to Cincinnati, done deal, right? Everyone agree with that. Chase Young to Washington, second overall. Most would agree that that's going to happen as well. Does the draft, in your mind, really start at three with Detroit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they are ripe to trade down, and maybe it's just a low-hanging fruit, and it's almost too easy. But with Matt Patricia at three and with Brian Flores, the coach of the Miami Dolphins at five, they have a history together in New England. The Dolphins have 14 picks in this draft. They have two first-rounders next year, two second-rounders next year. They have all the trade ammunition in the world. I think that's where we're going to see the first trade-up. It's going to be for Tua Tagovailoa. All this stuff about him the last week that his medicals are terrible and he's slow and he has a bad wonderlick, I think is all just a smokescreen because the Dolphins or maybe even the LA Chargers want Tua to fall and they don't want to have to trade up for him. But I think that's what will ultimately happen with that third overall pick.
All right, so you think Detroit moves out of it and somebody moves up and takes Tua three overall. So what does that mean for the Giants at four? Does it mean, because we heard Gettleman yesterday say, yeah, you know, ideally he might want to trade back and acquire picks and still wind up with the offensive lineman. Does that really hurt the Giants' chances? Or are there two teams that are very high on Justin Herbert that it might battle out for him and move up to four with the Giants?
I think in that scenario, which I think I pretty much laid out what is the most expected scenario, doesn't mean that it's definitely going to happen. We're not locked into that Lions-Dolphins trade. I think there will be a few teams that will call the Giants to want to move up for Justin Herbert. I personally like Justin Herbert. He's in my top 10 overall prospects. I wouldn't necessarily trade up for him at four. But will the Giants get a big enough trade package that Dave Gettleman, who's famously never traded back in a draft, will accept a trade back? I think having the pick of the litter of this top-heavy offensive tackle class is a luxurious position for the Giants to be in. Could they trade three or four spots back and still get one of the top two or three guys? Yes, that would, in theory, be better, but I'm all aboard the Tristan Wirfs train. Pick him at number four overall. Plug him in as your right tackle. Help Saquon. Help Daniel Jones. Great athlete, very powerful. I think he's going to be a franchise tackle for a very long time.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, joins us here breaking down the draft. So, Wirfs, give me your ranking. I imagine that it's the four, right? It's Wirfs, it's Wills, it's Becton, and it's Thomas. Give us your ranking of how you have them on your board.
I have Wirfs number one. I have Andrew Thomas from Georgia number two. Then I have Jedrick Wills. Then I have Mekhi Becton. I think that with Andrew Thomas, there was some speculation that he should be a guard because he was such a good run blocker, but he measured in with super long arms. I love that he got better in pass protection, and that he's really battle-tested in the SEC with pretty good play and not giving up a lot of sacks or pressures against elite pass rushers the past two seasons. I like Jedrick Wills. I think he's also a plug-and-play right tackle, which should certainly pique the interest for the Giants. I don't know if he's as fluid of an athlete as Tristan Wirfs. And before this season, I mean, you watch his 2018 film, Jedrick Wills looked like a mid or a late round pick. Tristan Wirfs has been having the arrow point up toward being a top first rounder for a few seasons now. And then with Mekhi Becton, he's huge. He's a great run blocker. I think he's a great athlete for his size and can flash in pass protection, but he needs to get better in just those true pass sets where it's not a run pass option. It's not a play action fake. There was a lot of that in that Louisville offense. But all four of those tackles, I think, can be very good pro. So the Giants, again, are in a very luxurious position where they're picking at number four overall. So,
but just to confirm for everyone listening, you love Wirfs. Like to
I love Wirfs.
You
yeah,
can't
I,
miss.
I have him in my top five overall prospects. I think number four overall. I think he's can't miss. He checks all the boxes. Athleticism, power. He flipped over for a few games from right tackle to left tackle and didn't skip a beat. And you even hear former offensive linemen that are now in the media always say how difficult it is to go from left guard or right tackle to left tackle. And Tristan Wirfs, as a 21-year-old this year, played three or four games at left tackle and completely shut everyone down in the Big Ten. So I think he has a wrestling background, too. He knows the angles. He resets his hands well. And the Giants need right now a right tackle. So you're not asking him to change positions like you would be with Andrew Thomas or Mekhi Becton. I think it's just the perfect fit value-wise, positional value, with going Tristan Wirfs at number four.
Now, you're right, and I'm kind of obsessed with this because we're talking Giants in the offensive line, which they need so desperately. You say he could slot right into right tackle. Is he good enough and capable enough that he could slot right in at left tackle and they move Solder to right tackle?
I think so. I mean, like I said, there was only a smaller sample size, four or five games in his career that he played left tackle. And I remember watching, I mean, I'm certainly scouting in real time on Saturdays in the fall. And I was like, oh, is this going to be a little bit tough for him? Because there was a thought before the season that Wirfs was maybe going to have to play guard because he was just so powerful and maybe wasn't athletic enough. And I was blown away by seeing him at left tackle. And we certainly, I mean, look at the combine numbers. He had a historic workout for an offensive tackle in the last 20 years at the combine. He's a supreme athlete. He broke a lot of weight room records at Iowa, even as a 20-year-old sophomore. I think he's a freak of nature, and he's technically sound, too. So you're not just getting a workout warrior, and you're not just getting a technician who doesn't have the athletic traits to be a really good player. I think he could play left tackle as a rookie.
All right, Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, breaking down the NFL draft with us. So Jets at 11, and I guess this is your most, it's 4:15, so this must be your most recent mock. You have the Jets going Henry Ruggs at 11. Walk us through why you have them going there over the offensive lineman.
It's difficult for me. I've kind of wavered back and forth, and it's funny that both teams, both New York teams are in a really good spot because regardless of what happens in the top 10, the Jets could say, all right, well, we're either getting maybe the second or the third offensive tackle, or we desperately need a wide receiver. We might have the pick of the litter at this really awesome wide receiver group that has a lot of top-end talent. So that was just the most recent one. I do have one coming out on Wednesday, the day before the draft. That'll be my best guess as to what happens. You would think Joe Douglas, with his experience in Philadelphia and how good that organization has been recently because of their offensive line, that he might lean in that direction. But I went with Ruggs because I think that he could represent the top player at his position when the Jets go on the clock, as opposed to, like I said, maybe getting the third or the fourth best offensive tackle.
How active trade-wise do you think this first round is going to be? Obviously, this is something we've never endured. I mean, everyone's locked away, and it's a draft where everyone's in their homes, and the commissioner's going to be in his basement. Do you think that prohibits us from having a lot of deals, or do you think it's business as usual on Thursday?
That's a good question. I think we'll still get the normal amount of trades. There's usually, if you look back, four or five trades in the first round. I still think we'll see that. I mean, yes, there's might be a few general managers that aren't super tech savvy, but there's huge scouting staffs, there's assistant GMs and guys that are younger that know how to, you know, navigate through a computer. I think we'll still see a lot of wheeling and dealing. There's a bunch of teams that have multiple first rounders. There's a few teams that don't have first rounders. I don't think we'll see any change in the amount of activity on the trade market during the draft.
All right, so it looks like, in looking at your mock, that you have Judy 1, Ruggs 2, and Lamb 3 as far as receivers are concerned. Is that accurate?
That's how I have them in my mock, but again, my mocks are mostly just what I think will happen. I actually have that reversed in order based on my own evaluations. I have CeeDee Lamb as the best receiver, and I can quickly tell you why. I think he's better after the catch, making defenders miss, running through tackles than Jerry Judy is. Judy is a better route runner. He runs routes like he's a 10-year veteran. He's very quick, very explosive. CeeDee Lamb isn't quite the athlete of Jerry Judy, but in today's NFL, if you can have a wide receiver that can make defenders miss in space, I think that's more valuable. And I think CeeDee Lamb is a little bit better in those contested catch situations down the field. I think he tracks it better. So it's kind of these three, they're all elite talents, but it's really what your team wants or prioritizes. I think all three will be very good in the NFL, and we won't have to wait 3 or 4 years for them to actually start producing.
Clearly three quarterbacks top 10, probably top 7, I would guess. Where does Jordan Love fall into the mix with you?
He's the biggest enigma. He is my fourth quarterback. I have him ranked like at number 23 overall. I think he's still worth a first-round pick. But he's an enigma because I think there could be a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars at 9 that just says, hey, like, we'll take this kind of boomer bust prospect with, you know, Doug Marrone and their GM Dave Caldwell kind of being on the hot seat to say, hey, look, we're building for the future. Let us keep our jobs for an extra year. I could see some teams having a third-round grade on him because there are some really bad decisions where he doesn't see underneath linebackers or corners and throws some pretty ghastly interceptions. Then on the next drive, he looks like Patrick Mahomes. So it's really hard to gauge what you're getting with him in that the top three guys, I think, are all high-floor players. They're not going to bust out of the league in 2 or 3 seasons. Jordan Love could. But he also could become in the right system with the right offensive line, offensive coordinator, Patrick Mahomes light. So it's really hard to kind of nab where he will ultimately go. But as we've seen, you know, on draft night, teams get very quarterback hungry, and I think a team will ultimately pick him inside the top 20.
Okay, so what am I missing with you? I mean, I'm looking at your mock draft, so many guys that I could potentially ask you about, but I don't even know what direction to go in now. Is there something specific that you feel our listeners need to know as we're just days away from the first round?
Yeah, the warning about Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, and there is some tiny speculation that the Giants could maybe go there at 4. I hope.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, Chris, if the Giants go there at 4, I don't even know what I will do. Really.
Yeah,
it would be tragic as a Giants fan.
That's what I was kind of going to say, that as a Giants fan, I think tragic is a perfect word in that Derrick Brown is super powerful. He's been on the draft radar for 2 years. He was a huge recruit. He's a great run defender, like awesome. Like, he will be one of the better run defenders in the NFL as a rookie. Doesn't miss tackles, incredibly strong. He's just not a good pass rusher. He can bull rush his way, even through the SEC, which is a fine accomplishment, but does not have pass rushing moves, was not a great athlete at the combine. He looks like someone that 10 years ago, if he was coming out, he would be like number one overall pick consideration when the league was really prioritizing run defense. If you're picking a D tackle, and I don't think that he's anywhere even close to Dexter Lawrence, who a lot of people criticized that pick last year for the Giants. I didn't hate it. I thought he was actually a good pass rusher, and he had a good rookie season. But he's the one player that I think is going to go high that I'm going to kind of cringe in on Thursday because I just don't think that he's the right type of player that fits in today's NFL.
But now you have me freaking out. You don't think the Giants take him at 4, do you?
No, I don't. But I feel like I saw a couple tweets early in the week that, like, going defense and maybe not Isaiah Simmons, that you know, Dave Gettleman's love for defensive linemen, you know, could make that potentially a pick. That's why I said tiny speculation, and hopefully for Giants fans and for you, and even for me, just because I like to see teams draft the players that I think are the best in every class, that hopefully we don't see or hear anything in the next 3 or 4 days that there is steam mounting for the Giants or a team to pick him inside the top 5.
Oh my God, that would be absolutely horrible. All right, you've totally shaken me. I'm not as well as I was when we started this conversation. Chris, excellent job. I appreciate it. Enjoy the draft, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. Chris Trapasso, CBS.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.